Blog Talk Radio. Our live call-in number is 347-677-0699, and we're kind of hoping that we'll hear from small business owners like myself, and I'm going to be joined here by my co-host, Andy Mayer. How are you doing, Andy?
I'm doing great, Lynn.
All right. Well, so you and I came up with this topic just about last week, within the week, and we were trying to figure out what to talk about for tonight's blog talk.
Yeah, it was just kind of those one of those interesting situations where it was like, what can we talk about? Well, I'm taking a radio broadcast class, and I had to write a paper on where radio is going, and it kind of got the gears turning on, you know, how different things are right now for marketing than it was, say, 15 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. I mean, it used to be that, you know, 15, 20 years ago, websites weren't commonplace. I mean, there was this thing, I think you had BBS boards. You had, what else did you have? You had dial-up modems. There wasn't any of this high-speed modem access. So using the internet to promote your business, to promote your stuff, wasn't very viable. People had to, you know, there were these things. Mailers came out. People actually used this antiquated device called a phone book to look up, you know. And you had to, I don't know, did you ever have to buy phone books?
No, I never had to buy them, but they do give it out. But when you do get into marketing in a phone book, you buy into putting an ad in there. But the problem is with a phone book, and this is why I don't do it anymore, is phone books are done in sections. Like, say, in King County, you can advertise South King, you know, East, and so on and so forth. And so I didn't find it feasible for me to advertise in just South King County when on the internet anyone, even in England, can find me.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I have managed to meet a lot of creative people via the internet, and I think if it was just me as a musician, I'd 15, 20 years ago, I'd be hitting up a lot of open mic nights, and, you know, as an electronica musician, it'd be incredibly difficult for me because I'd have to lug all these synths. If it was an open mic night that only did acoustic performances, I'd have to bring my own amp. It would be a very cumbersome type of situation, but now it's crazy. I just go on the internet, I search for electronica music musicians. There's several networking sites like Reverb Nation, SoundCloud. At one point there was this website, I think it was called, what, Your Space? It's MySpace! So, yeah, that was interesting because eventually people stopped going to MySpace and started using, was it Your Book? Footbook? Stomach. Oh, Facebook!
Well, you know, they did make a joke out of that. MySpace and Facebook, if you put them together. My face.
Wow, that's kind of dirty. Right. Glad that we don't have any FCC regulations here. Even though I don't think we have to beat that out. Oh, man. I have to give myself some laurels. I finally, you know, I'm done with the quarter and the course that I took was actually taught by Art Sanders of Como News, and I learned a lot in that course about how radio works, where radio is going, and such. But I don't really want to talk about that. I want to, you know, we're here to talk about connectivity, and I can tell you this much, that we are, there is absolutely no reason these days for small businesses not to learn how to navigate the internet and how to get those connections, to build those connections, to build basically your own team, your own cadre, your own cabal, if you will, of like-minded individuals who are mutually supporting each other. It was funny, I got started with an individual named Kevin Byrne of Morrison's Prophecy, and I don't know, I might have said this earlier in previous broadcasts, but, well, the one that I did, that I got really tired of all the drama in my social group, so I decided to get back into music and really focus on that. And so I started doing open mic nights, and my buddy Kevin pretty much followed me and such, and eventually, you know, we started, you know, helping each other with our live shows and everything, and we essentially formed the Beta Test Collective along with Ethereal Images. And for a good long time, we did a lot of live shows, and it was through that connectivity age, through the connectivity that we had achieved, we managed to meet other people. Ethereal Images was very much interested in meeting potential clients. I was just interested in playing live and see how that would work, et cetera, et cetera. And eventually, that's how I met Lynn. And so her massage was through Ethereal Images. So shout out to you, Ethereal Images. Thank you for, you know, being awesome with your networking and such. But, I mean, there is so much that you can do these days, not just with the internet, but just showing up at places where, you know, for example, if there are trade organizations. I mean, if you're an electrical engineer, there are unions, or at least places where you can go, where you can network with other engineers. You know, whatever your trade is, chances are there's probably some sort of organization to go with it. Nurses have, they've got a union, or they've got some sort of, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Not really a union, but an association.
Could be.
Yeah. So, you know, it's there is no reason why you shouldn't be connected. And a lot of people, I don't want to give all my secrets away competitively. I was like, nobody's asking you to, you know, open up your huge file of stuff. No, the more people that you network with, the more opportunities will come to you and such. Lynn, do you have any personal experiences with using the internet and how it's expanded your business? I mean, how has it made your business easier or harder?
Actually, personally, I've actually met more people than I wouldn't have met before, for one, because shy person, more introverted than anything. So, but in business sense, yeah. Because I am introverted, I tend to not be able to talk in a large group. I tend to talk in smaller groups of people, or mostly one-on-one. So the internet gave me a venue to actually say, hey, this is me, this is what we do, hey, find us here, and look what we're doing, and basically have a larger audience base. And if anybody, heck, even just 1% of that huge, large base of people who are seeing my, I guess, advertising or whatever, then that's a lot of people. I mean, if it's like 1,000 people, just 1%, yeah. But before we go on into this whole thing, let's do a analog versus digital. What is the difference?
Uh-oh, watch out, science lesson, presented to you by professor, quote, unquote. No, no, not a professor.
Don't get me in trouble. Okay, all right. So I'm actually getting the information on a website at www.diffen.com. And they have, it looks like it's one of those things that you can compare anything. And so this is what they said. Analog and digital signals are used to transmit information, usually through electric signals. In both these technologies, the information such as any audio or video, is transformed into electric signals. Now, the difference between the analog and the digital technologies is that in analog technology, information is translated into electric pulses of varying amplitude. Everybody have taken physics? All right. In the digital technology, the translation of information is into binary format, zeros or ones, where each bit is representative of the two distinct amplitudes. So basically, from analog to digital, you are losing a lot of information. But the trade-off is, in digital, it's a lot easier to copy. I saw this video, I forgot the guy's name, but the difference between analog and digital, yes, we do lose a lot of information when we go from analog to digital, but in the digital, this is like, he compared it to like Xerox machines, making copies. In analog, when you make a copy of that first draft or whatever, then you lose a little bit of it, and then you make a copy of that copy. And then you lose more of it, you make a copy of that other copy, say 10 times or 1,000 times. By the time that you're copying the 999th copy to make the 1,000th copy, you basically have lost everything. In the digital, you copy one, you copy another, you copy a copy of a copy a million times, it will be basically as good as the first draft. And that's the trade-off. So this is the reason why we have lost our TVs. Now we have, if you have the old kind of TV, you have to have a, what are those called?
It's called a digital converter.
Oh, digital converter, converting analog to digital.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because in coming from a the audio engineering background, there's a lot of arguments on, you know, which is better, analog or digital. And for you huge audiophiles out there, I would have to say that, you know, you want to go analog because that sound is very analogous to the ear, and perhaps you can even pick it up. Musicians like myself who listen to a lot of heavy metal and perform a lot of loud music, I'll admit it, my ears are getting a little blown. So, you know, I can't really hear all of those, background noise, but I can't hear it accurately. So, I'm not, the information that I'm missing, from a digital signal, I tend not to notice. But, you know, to go into a little bit of science here, these days with the oversampling that's happening right now with the digital realm, it's getting closer. It will never be identical, but it's definitely getting closer and such. But, yeah, back on, you know, digital versus analog, you know, that's another term that ethereal images and I use. I mean, you tend to use a lot. Now, using this as a metaphor, you tend to lose a lot in simply, you know, texting back and forth or using chat, just on account that you can't really read the micro-expressions on someone's face. You can't really hear the tone of their voice. You know, there's a distinct difference between, yeah, that's really cool. Mic placement. Use it. No, but, you know, to talk about, I mean, back on the micro-expressions and such, there's a distinct difference between saying, oh, that's really cool, or, oh, that's really cool. You know, there's a distinct difference, you know, between, you know, genuineness and sarcasm, which gets lost in translation when you're texting. So, you know, I like to use, quote unquote, the digital realm, texting, chatting. I think those are great tools to use in terms of providing introductions, but eventually I like to meet face-to-face with any type of business clients that I have if they're interested in soundtracking work. That's just the way I am, because I tend to pick up, I've learned how to pick up on a lot of body language, And I think that's very important for any entrepreneur, for anybody who is working their own business, to be able to read people. And if you can't do that, hire somebody who can, or else you might get taken for a ride.
You know, it's kind of odd that you went into this because of the fact that in my massage business, it'll always be analog. There's no way I can possibly virtually massage somebody.
Oh, give it time. We'll make a robot or something. I mean, yeah, if we want to keep this, like, you know, PG-13 rated, you know, I won't go into the other applications, but...
I said massage, not the other kind. I mean, this is massage therapy.
Oh, well, yes, eventually... Well, those technologies that are developing that, you know, rated R technology will eventually trickle down. So you could, you know, eventually, Lynn, you could program a robot with your techniques and you could patent it and then you could, like, make a lot of money.
No, the whole thing is actually making changes at the time of the massage anyway. Like, you know, people say, oh, my back hurts. And next thing you know, you're massaging their shoulder and go, oh, I didn't know that hurt too. Oh, gosh, I didn't know my knee hurt too. So it's like, oh, that's probably why your back hurts, because of your knee. Now, because of that, your shoulder's also hurting. How are you standing? How are you sitting? How are you leaning? Do you, you know, there's a lot of things, and the robot's not going to do that, because a lot of the stuff that we do is, it's actually an analog communication. We push, we watch their body's reaction, we listen to how they're actually breathing. If they're holding their breath, it must be very painful. If they're breathing nice and slowly, most likely it's okay. If they're tensing up, yeah, we know that it's a little too much pressure. So we always will have that. I don't think that can ever be changed unless there's a robot that actually can make the proper changes or have very sensitive hands that it can figure out what to do next. As, you know, but I like to combine both analog and digital, because right now here I am marketing myself on Facebook, and it's automatically being tweeted on Twitter, and it can only go so far. Not a lot of these people seeing my tweets or my posts are going, I know Lynn personally, or, yeah, I've had a massage from her, and she's really great. No, I mean, they'll just look at reviews online and base those reviews on the decision to either come to the office or not, or find somebody else. But most of the ones that actually makes my business grow is word of mouth, and that's the fastest, the most reliable one, because when people actually tell them and they're face-to-face, they'll see how excited they are to talk about the business, how excited they are or happy of the result that they've gotten here. So, yeah, it's more analog on my end than digital, but the digital is definitely helping them make that decision or that little push to check us out.
Right, and that's sort of a really interesting coinkydink about connectivity, about marketing, on how word of mouth is still a very powerful force in getting your brand out there, getting your work out there. Because strictly speaking, I mean, we are media saturated. I mean, there are feeds on my Facebook that I'm just like, going, why am I subscribed to this? You know.
And unfortunately, I'm so OCD, I have to erase all the red numbers next to the messages, I have to turn them off.
So, yeah, for me, I was like going, oh, you've got over 1,000 notifications you need to look at. I don't care.
Not me. I'm OCD. I swear.
I mean, if it's a message, I'll definitely check it out and such. But, yeah, it is just surreal on if you know how to navigate the internet, and if you know how to navigate on analog, I mean, there's no reason why your business should not thrive, unless of course your product sucks, in which case there's no fixing that. You know, but I don't know. Actually, I can't really go that far because there are plenty of music artists that I think that suck and have got a lot of coverage. But I don't want to like name any specific artists that I like particularly loathe and hate.
No, I think it's branding, and definitely, usually it's the face of the singer or something.
Some other physical attribute that the singer would have.
Exactly.
But I think definitely in terms of the medical and the healing arts, word of mouth is going to go very, very far. And you kind of want to develop that sense of community on what you do. It's interesting because I tend to, well, some people call the community woo-woo, and the woo-woo community tends to talk about a lot of esoterical and spiritual stuff, but there's a tightly knit group of individuals who read tarot cards, and they have conventions, and I don't want to say it's like an elite crew or anything. You have to have like a card or registration, but it's interesting to... I was talking with I believe it was Mike Hernandez about the tarot community, and he was like, "Yeah, it's very much word of mouth because it is a an industry. Take it how you were, take it how you want to take tarot for entertainment purposes. It is an industry that is very much dealt face to face. I don't think that. I mean, sure, you can go online and find those virtual tarot." Those virtual tarot cards. Oh, okay. I'm so used to other type of microphones. With tarot, it's a situation where you kind of want to be face to face, or at the very least, you want to hear their voice, so you can hear those micro expressions, so you can receive a good reading. Chiropractors, obviously, you want to have quality product, but also you want to be able to navigate the connectivity age. Definitely have a website. Cut down on your receptionist's downtime by having them on the phones, and develop some sort of online scheduler and such. So all of these technological connectivity vectors are very important for people who are in small business. It's interesting because I have a lot more for my electronic music. I have a lot more interest from Europe than I do locally here in Seattle, and I think it's because people in Europe are actively searching for electronic music, whereas in Seattle, people really don't know that there is an electronica music scene here. I mean, there's the rave scene. We've got a lot of DJs, but predominantly, I'm not seeing a lot of synth pop or electronic body music productions. I see a lot of burlesque productions, and that's really interesting because if we're talking about media in general, it's all media. We're with the connectivity age. It's shattered all of the boundaries. It's no longer video media. It's no longer audio media. It's no longer written media. It's no longer analog media. It's all media. So how are you going to get, from a marketing perspective, how are you going to get the most bang out of your buck for getting your signal out there? I guess that really depends on your business. For example, for me, as a musician, I think it's very important for me to eventually not just stay within the auditory realm of media, but to branch out and start doing a music video. Which all comes down to your brand development, which all comes down to what product you are producing. If you are producing a product that is not authentic and that is not you, people are going to smell that a mile away. If you're all about glitz and glamour, be glitz and glamour. But if you're all kind of like me, kind of dark, moody, and what's the other dark, moody, and somewhat angsty? Yeah, totally. Get my dress wax on and stuff. I mean, there's certain markets that I kind of have to adjust my image. you know, maybe I'm not wearing, you know, all of the military gear with the black combat boots, but instead I'm wearing, you know, a dark suit. But people still kind of get that edge from me. Could you tell us a little bit about your experiences with authenticity in your expressions of promotion?
Well, as far as authenticity, I have been myself all this time. I mean, I've never been anybody else but myself, although it has been a journey. Because you do want to please your clients, you do want to make sure that they come back. I learned very early on as a newly licensed massage therapist that finding the client that you want to keep coming back, the ideal client, is much more than just getting money and getting paid. There have been people that have asked me to do things that is not within my scope of practice, and I had to put my foot down and basically say, you know, stop the massage and say, you know, that's not what I do. And you do know that you need to leave now. And so, yeah, I didn't get paid for a couple of them, but I made sure that what I was manifesting for myself in my business is self-respect and so on and so forth. So basically, that's what I'm getting from my clients. I mean, they became quickly like friends of mine, and they would tell me their stories and how their day was going, how their week was going. So I have somewhat of an idea why they're stressed out or whatever. And so it's just the way things are. And in my journey as far as connecting with other people and networking, with the fact that my friend, my best friend, Rusty, who invited me to check out a fire spinning. She said that there's going to be a bullwhip that's on fire, and I'm into bullwhips. And I wanted to check that out because I really have no idea how you can possibly put a bullwhip on fire and start, you know, snapping it and not have all this, I don't know, dangerous substance at the tip of it.
You learn to move very quickly, or you learn that being burned is, yes, stinks.
It hurts. But anyway, we were watching this guy do his bullwhip stuff and then met up with Rusty's old-time friend. I guess they went to school since they were like kindergarten or something like that. And he happened to be a photographer taking pictures of these people. And he and I got together and came up with an idea of basically my punny self. I mean, that's who I am. I am punny. I do a little bit play on words. I'm not as bad, but I do play on words. And so we ended up after like, I don't know, almost a year of working together, ended up with a campaign, a picture punny photo campaign of stuff that I thought people would appreciate. If they've never had massages before, I might as well make fun of Reiki using a rake. We didn't have leaves, though, because that would make a lot of mess. But raking somebody's back with a rake and making fun of the electronic stimulation type of therapy or shock therapy. Yeah, you should see this on our website at www.centurymassage.com and click on photos, and you'll see all of it. We started out with 7 ideas in the beginning in last year. Gosh, I think it was around August when we started doing this. And then this year, just last week Tuesday, yeah, we did another set. We had 15. We actually had more than 20 ideas, but we can only put so many on photos at the time that we had. And plus, I don't have a lot of money to to pay for all these photos, but they're great photos. We even had a semi-contortionist, a friend of a friend from Senka. Her name is Emma Curtis. Shout out to you. Thank you very much for being the person on the table being contorted into weird positions and calling it sort of pseudo Thai massage.
Actually, the way I'm looking at the picture right now, and I'm thinking, what is that, pretzel massage? You know, because she's practically folded into a pretzel, which, you know, kind of leads me into kind of my next point here about media, about connectivity, the visual media. I attend a lot of gaming trade conventions, a lot of science fiction trade conventions, a lot of Japanese animation trade conventions, and there's always this pursuit of swag, and what swag is free stuff you get from producers. Things that, you know, and some of them could be referred to as what Philip K. Dick, referred to as kipple, you know, and kipple being, you know, those receipts that you hang on to or those little ticket stubs, you know, things that have not really collector's items, but rather they're just clutter, you know, like why do you keep, if you're not in the business, why do you keep your receipts and stuff like that? But like stickers, you know, stickers are a really great way to get your stuff out there. Magnets are really good because predominantly people have a lot of have refrigerators and such. Calendars, I think, are a great deal.
Which is a great idea that actually Andy said with the pictures and photos that we actually have been putting together. That's more than enough for one calendar.
Absolutely. So you want to have something that you can be remembered by. I was at Penny Arcade Development last year, and there was this guy who handed me a business card. Now, this business card was made out of balsa wood. It was about an eighth inch thick, and he had laser cutted it. And I was looking at this like, this is something I'm going to remember. I have no reason why I'm going to hang on to this, but to have this thick business card made out of balsa wood that was laser etched, you know, if I ever need, you know, the thing is, he was from I believe it was from the Bay Area, and it was brilliant. You know, I have no reason to have a laser cutter, but if I decide that I need, you know, custom business cards or some sort of prop for my music business, yeah, he's like the first guy I'm gonna know. He's probably gonna ship it to me and stuff, but you want to be able to maintain some sort of analog, what's the word I'm looking
reminder?
For? Not really reminder, but what is this? Tactile.
Tactile.
You want to maintain some sort of analog tactile piece of swag.
So basically what you're saying is in order to be remembered, you have to have several senses going at the same time.
Exactly.
Not just sight, but
exactly.
Sight, smell, touch.
Right.
And hearing. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Commercials, if done well, in my opinion, are great vectors to connect to your business, especially if it's well written. Now, this can. Now, the crazy thing is that even a well written commercial for audio can be done incredibly well. In fact, I recently got done writing a paper about, you know, where I think radio can still thrive, because there's a lot of argument right now that radio is kind of fading away to the internet. And I'm like going, no, there's no reason why we should have all these frequencies go away. I believe that radio is sort of can be the gateway drug to internet content. I believe that, you know, people will always still listen to the radio on, you know, in their car. There is they want to listen to real time people's thoughts and ideas, because in some ways we've grown closer because of the internet, and in other ways we've grown further apart. So if you have a radio station that has a high-powered, on-demand, interactive website that people want to go to, that's going to generate revenue.
So basically, you know, did you know that CA 9.9 have a streaming line, but I don't think it's interactive as of this point. But they are streaming, and they're actually getting a lot of people from other countries listening to them and donating.
Yeah, and I think CA 89.9 is one of my favorite radio stations because I love dance music.
Me too.
I try listening to a lot of the adult contemporary stations, and I just get bored. I do. just like I'm going to riff a little bit on my presentation. We were doing a mock radio station, and I was the sales director. And the programming director wanted to do all this beach bum music, and it was like all acoustic ukulele music. And I'm the sales guy. I'm not the DJ. I'm the sales guy. I'm not, because I honestly just kind of wanted to chuck the entire format under the bus, run it over, set it on fire, because it was just not me. they would not get my money. In fact, yeah, it just no. But back on CD9. On their website, I believe, on some of the shows, they actually do have a chat function.
I'm not quite sure, because I haven't really looked into there. I just basically listen to the radio station, because of all the radio stations that's out there, I kind of toggle between 92.5, which is a dance music, and there's a new one, 98.  something. I forgot what it is. But 98.9, yeah. But now they're talking way frickin' too much. And so it's like... I used to be a 101.5 listener,
right.
And they've lost me, actually. Once in a while, I'll go there if there's nothing going on CD9.9, because especially on Sundays, I don't necessarily want to listen to church stuff. So I listen to the other stations. But most of the time, it's on CD9.9. On the radio station, because of the fact that I have it here, we are here in Seattle, where they are here, I don't have to. But when I'm traveling, it's not so much on the computer or the laptop that I'm listening to them. It's on my my phone, because I have, not Pandora, what's the other one? TuneIn Radio. And they are on. They're also on TuneIn Radio because they're streaming their shows.
Exactly. So, you know, going back to, well, how does this apply to me? It applies... very importantly to you if you're a small business owner. You need to get your word out there. You need to get your signal boost out there. I don't care if you're selling toothbrushes, or all the way up to you're a lawyer who's just starting out, who's trying to, you know, build a good client base. You need to get involved with the internet. You need to get involved with advertising, because unless there's just so much media saturation out there, you know, in the very least, you might pull in some leads. Especially if you're working, in my opinion, in the healing medical industry, how important it is to have that website that can draw people in. That can, you know, because you don't want to go to a sports massage website and see it all haphazard. You want it to be tight. You want to know what you're getting into. And there's so many other websites that I've seen that all it is just content. They don't have any way to get in they don't have any contact information or contact information that's hyperlinked, or they don't have
meeting. Sometimes what I've noticed on some of the other massage therapist website when I was doing my business plan was that they would have stock pictures. I don't have stock pictures that I know of. I was using some, but most of the ones that I put up there are actually of us. And so, like, I even have a Meet Lynn page, Meet Aaron, Meet Elsa, so that it's more personable. It's more approachable. It's not, who am I going to get? Which picture actually draws me in? Who do I feel like I can connect with? Because it's very important to connect with, I guess, your healer, in a sense. Doctors, chiropractor. If you don't connect in the analog sense of it, you're not going to heal, because of the fact that you're just going to keep questioning what they're doing. And it's a two-way street. So before we go on and on with the connectivity thing, I was kind of wondering, have you done any kind of advertising that did not work for you? And was it analog or was it digital?
What did not work for me? Well, I'll tell you right now, what doesn't work for me is... No, I can't really say that. what didn't work for me? Because I'm still, you know, trying, you know, it's kind of weird because, you know, I think of Facebook, you know, because I do promote a lot on Facebook. And when beta test, when the Beta Test Collective first started out, we were really pushing on Facebook. But, I mean, there were so many factors on that because we would have our nights on Wednesday night and nobody wanted to come out.
Well, it also depends on when you guys were doing the marketing on Facebook, when they kept changing how the pages were being sent out.
Right. You know, I'm trying to think back, and I usually just kind of put that out of my mind. You know, it was a failure. Just don't do it again. Twitter, interestingly enough, is really great because, you know, it's got the ease of use with the phones. You can text. I believe you can still text Twitter, and it'll update. But what didn't work? If I really had to choose what didn't work, I'd have to say Facebook. but that isn't to say that. And the reason why it didn't work for us, for the Beta Test Collective, was because we had a really, really hard night to book. We were playing on Wednesday night. It was right in the middle of the week, and people had to go to bed early. People had jobs. It was just, it was one of those things.
So it's not Facebook failure. It's actually schedule failure.
Yeah. And, you know, we were just starting out, so.
Here's the thing. My experience that didn't work, Yellow Pages. I paid over for a year in just the South King County. It was like three quarters of an inch. And before they had like four columns, and then they changed it to five columns. I forgot what it was. But it was even smaller, but it was three quarters of an inch tall. And I paid like over $1,000. I was getting an average of one freaking phone call from that, because when I asked them, where'd you find us? Well, the Yellow Pages. I was, at that time, by myself. I was getting maybe three or four times more phone calls from our website when I launched my website around that time. So I learned right away, I'm not going to invest my money in the Yellow Pages. The website was actually a lot cheaper. I was also doing it by trade with the owner of that particular website. So that worked out just fine. But even if I did pay him, it was just $600 compared to the $1,200 I paid for Yellow Pages. And it was limited. So I knew that. Another one that didn't work for me, so that was analog versus digital. The other one that didn't work for me is I had people, there's a guy that was actually wanting me to put an ad or one of those things that lights up in like a, not a billboard, but anyway, in casinos.
Yeah.
What are those called?
The light boards. I think they're called, was this like the full-on pixelated ones where it could do, or was it like an actual television screen?
No, I think it was like a board, like a list of different businesses,
right.
And it's right next to the phone booth. No more phone booth. So <we're laughs> when was this? Like 10 or so years ago. So it was next to one of them was like near an airport. No, motels. So when they have to call a taxi, they can tell the taxi where to go. And that's basically, it was in a casino and a motel. Well, I spent $1,500 on that for a year, or is it a year and a half, to have that up there. Not a lot of people called. And if they did call, they were looking for a massage that was basically not at the time frame that I was willing to give massages, let's just say. So, that was like a wash. Putting it in calendars. There's a high school here that wanted me to put my ad, a business card size ad, on their calendar of events for football. I did that one time. No phone calls whatsoever came from there. About $500. So nothing came about on that one. And so it was like they keep calling me and said, you know, it didn't work. No. What got me more clients calling in was actually once I set up the online scheduling. Because all they have to do now is find me on Google or whatever and then get on my website to check out what we are and then find out, oh, they're taking appointments. Oh, there it is. And that basically opened things up. And then having it to a point that I was rerouting folks to check out Yelp because we have 5 reviews there. And so by going there, so it's like cross-referencing, letting them know that we are legitimate, we're not a one-time deal. And since then, it just kind of blossomed into something much bigger. And the photo ad campaign that we were doing, the punny photo ad, is actually boosting it a little bit more because now they're saying the type of people that we're fun to be around. We're not just, oh, yeah, let's get you in and clinic. Yes, we're going to try to make you feel better. Okay, here's that and leave and, you know, nothing. We're actually want people to know that we are human. We want to make sure that you're okay. We want to talk to you some more. We want to get to know you a little bit better because when we know you a little bit better, we probably have an idea how to give your the best massage for you. It basically customizing it. So, yeah, those are the things that didn't work for me, and those are the things that worked for me right now.
I just don't have enough money to spend on phone books to buy it, take advertising out. It's just
phone books don't work anymore.
Right, yeah. What's really interesting is, from a consumer point of view, I'm currently in the market right now for a quality digital SLR camera. So I'm on all kinds of websites right now. Friends have referred me to websites. I'm always comparing reviews on Amazon.com versus Best Buy versus Fry's versus other retailers. And I'm always doing market research on CNET. So, you know, people these days are going to do their homework, you know, unless they're looking for a quick fix, you know, maybe they won't. But predominantly, I think that's one of the wonderful things that the internet has provided certain people with is a improved BS detector, because there's a lot of scams out there. I mean, how many times have you ever gotten that email, you know, hi, I'm from this third world country in Africa and I have like over $10 million, but if you know, that I need to divert immediately because there's some weird war, please give me your account information. I'm like, going, really, guys? Really?
Well,
no.
There's some people who actually fell for that.
I know, and these are probably the same people who drank Pepsi. Sorry, I'm not a big Pepsi fan.
You just gave him free advertising.
I just did. Drink Coke. Drink Coke instead. Coke's better for you.
No, I don't even want to bring those guys up. I don't endorse any of those. Although I drink a different kind of soda pop, but I'm not even going to mention that soda pop. No. So, yeah. So you don't have anything that didn't work for you as far as marketing is concerned, other than it sounds like to me it wasn't Facebook. But then again, I think Facebook did help in your guys' failure because of the fact that now they're limiting it to certain people who can see your posts.
Yeah, right now as a musician, some of the best networking sites for me is Reverb Nation. SoundCloud. There's a movement on the internet. There are content providers on there that aren't interested in strictly monetizing content. They actually are in it for the art. They're in it for they feel that there are certain things that you just can't put a price tag on.
Well, okay, here's the thing. Because analog is a little harder to copy and copy and copy, and digital is a lot better. As an artist, because I keep hearing this on the artists who are making it big, who basically are saying what it sounds like to me, that you're going to put them in the poorhouse if you don't pay for your, you know, because we're copying, before the digital age, actually, that's how I did it. I made copies of my tape, another tape, to give to a friend. No one was having issues with that, and now they are in this age because of the digital age. What do you think of that as an artist?
Honestly, you know, back in the day when people were copying movies off the VCRs, you know, from off cable television or off of network television, people would record the radio, the mixtape, and everything. And you always hope that the DJ would keep his mouth shut over the long introduction. Honestly, you know, I wish I could make enough money on my music right now to be able to make that complaint. Because if you've already made it big and you're being sent to the poorhouse because your stuff's getting copied.
But see, that's the thing. They're not being sent to the poorhouse because they're, what, charging $80 a pop for their concert.
The only thing that I got to really say about that is just make sure your content doesn't suck. Okay? If your content sucks, nobody's going to want to buy. And if you're all flash and glitz and glam, yeah, I guess I would be scared that, yeah, maybe people aren't going to buy it because, you know, you can only polish a turd, you know, so many times. But honestly, one of my favorite groups, Dream Theater, they're a progressive rock band out there. And a lot of people, you know, personally, I'm under the opinion that Dream Theater is like one of the most hated bands in the recording community because they break all the rules because they're all quality musicians. They've got some glitz and glam, but they stayed home and did their homework while other artists were snorting coke. So check those guys out, Dream Theater. But honestly, if it wasn't for people doing the file sharing, if it wasn't people doing the copying the tapes and distributing them, you know, I think a lot of people, I mean, okay, now this is the part that's going to get me into a lot of trouble right now, and I'm probably going to lose a bunch of listeners, like, oh, A.R. Mayer is such a heathen.
Well, see, the thing is that the way we were doing it before in the analog days, I guess,
right.
Was basically free marketing for those
exactly,
guys.
Exactly. It was free marketing. It was like, hey, have you ever checked out this band before? It was like, no. Now, I'll tell you this much. What was the first tape I ever bought? Was Metallica's One single. I had saw the music video for Metallica's One from Injustice for All, and I bought that tape and I wore that tape down. I did. No, I killed that tape. No, it was free marketing, and it was one of those things. It was like, you know, I'm going to go a little bit, you know, in the history here. You know, there are some people who are under the opinion that the Christian religion would have died if they didn't steal all the pagan religions to party on.
It's not just the pagan that they took from. They took from every single one that they couldn't basically so that they could they can attract more people. Because it still had a piece of what they believed in. So, and then they mosh-poshed it together and made their own.
Well, there's that old saying, and I can't remember who it is. Go ahead, Google it. There's an old saying out there that says, you know, good artists create, great artists steal. You know, so, yeah, so exactly. It's all been written before. It's all been done before. You know, it's all about a matter of, you know, putting your own personal flavor because everybody's unique.
Okay, so it's almost like me learning a different kind of massage modality and making it my own. Like, oh, man, okay, here's a story, guys. I went on a cruise years and years ago, and I decided, you know, I want to know what a massage feels like on a cruise. And why is it $105? It must be good, right? Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
That's exactly how I felt. I was bruised in the back. It was only 50 minutes long. And, yeah, it wasn't as... It was actually as good or worse than getting a massage by a student at the school that I was in. And so this person massaged me. And I was not happy with that massage. $105 was, I could have gotten that for free on a trade, actually. And, yeah. But on that particular massage, only one thing that I liked, and I stole that from her. I never knew that basically doing percussion or tapotement on the peroneus portion of the lower leg actually felt really good. So I stole that from her, and the rest of it actually I could have done without. She used way too much lotion, and being on a cruise ship and being that I am motion sick. Let's just say I left her a tip in her waste basket.
Wow. Not okay. In the immortal words of the Mexican language, no bueno.
I couldn't help it. I was sick.
How do you respond to that? I mean, it was like, you know, if I was an entertainer on a cruise ship, you know, if I was doing a comedy act, and you know that, you know, and people were riding the waves, it was pretty bad, and somebody threw up during my during my set. I don't know how I would take that. I was like, oh, that might be a bad day. That might be a bad day for a really good day for the bartender, a really bad day for me.
I guess it was a bad day for her, too.
Screaming back to topic on the connectivity age. Throwing up in waste baskets. No, the internet's there. It's a wonderful thing. We've got cell phones. They're also a wonderful thing. Facebook has over 1 billion users, I believe. Let me pull up my academic paper here real quick and such, because I had some interesting statistics on the connectivity age. Let me just read you some stuff. This is from my paper, The Future of Radio, Gateway to Comprehensive Media Content. And according to, let's see here, was it Business Week? I know I'm killing time here, but let's see here. I'll just go down to the bibliography. So it was the U.S. smartphone revolution has entered the late innings. It was on businessinsider.com. U.S./smartphone-market at 2012-9. I believe that where is my?
Do you have Pinterest on there too?
Yeah, Pinterest.
I made it.
Let's see here. About 114 million Americans have used smartphones. Okay, so that's 114 million Americans that possibly could be connected on the internet. So that's why you want to use the internet.
Here's the thing, though. That's U.S. That's in the U.S. The study was done in the U.S. We're actually behind, as far as I know, when it comes to connectivity, behind Europe and also Japan. Asian in general, which is kind of funny. You'd think America, number one technology. We're actually, according to the, there's a, not a study, but there's a list that I saw. We were number 17 when it comes to science. So, wow, that's pretty far down.
I blame Christian fundamentalism for that.
Yeah, ditto.
I mean, seriously, they read from an edited Bible. I mean, they're missing the Apocrypha, and then there's the Book of Enoch. Okay, people are going to want to tar and feather me now.
Yeah, thanks. This is not the atheist show, though. Or the agnostic show. This is Century Health Talk, and we will talk about some health issues sometimes. But, yeah, the connectivity, that's great news in a sense. But the problem is, again, it goes back down to we are losing the real communication that happens in the analog realm, right?
I disagree. I believe that there's the temptation to lose that communication. But if you approach digital transmissions, the internet, Facebook, those type of connectivity vectors as gateways and not just as an end result, then it's because it's a hybrid. It's a combination between the analog.
So there's got to be some balance between the two, because that's what I'm. That is something that I'm attempting to do, and I might not be good at it, but you know, there's the analog relationship. You have to talk. You have to communicate. And then there's some in which, in order to make plans, you text message, hey, honey, when will you be home so I know when to cook dinner? You know, that sort of thing.
Or even better yet, hey, honey, I'm gonna be cooking dinner. We're out of this. Here's the shopping list.
So you don't have to come home and then go back out again. And yeah, saving gas, that's good. So we're going to actually, it looks like we're going to, it's 9 o'clock, it's almost 9 o'clock, and we usually try to get to about an hour and a half worth of show, or up to 2 hours if it's a really good conversation. But I am getting ready for a trip. And I really do thank Andy for joining me tonight. So shouting out, by the way, still love the music that you put for this for this show. And so yeah, shout out to you, Andy. Thank you for the music, and thank you for the co-host, the presence.
Always a pleasure to be online and boosting your signal.
Thank you, and I hope to do the same. So you need to put something about your stuff so that I can actually boost it, not just gun stuff.
Oh, okay, fine. well, that would be another topic.
Yeah. It could be a health topic.
But yeah, if you want to check out my music, feel free to do a search under A.R. Mayer Audio Productions on SoundCloud. Check me out on Reverb Nation. I'm also on Facebook. Again, that's A.R. Mayer Audio Productions. I do soundtracks. I do custom music. I also do...
you do spots also?
I can also do spots. So if you
and those of you who do not do radio talk, spots is actually like an advertising, audio advertising.
Exactly. So, and right now with the economy as it is, radio stations are offering very competitive advertising prices. And let me tell you, the more senses you engage, the more your business signal is going to be boosted.
And I think this is why I also like the Blog Talk Radio and what actually. Attracted me to it, because for one, unlike the analog portion in which it's out there and it's gone because it's, you know, analog, this one is being recorded, and so, you know, I might die tomorrow, but my voice will live on.
Right. No, I completely. My music will live on, and yeah. So I mean, it's that could be another topic about documentation. You know, how the importance of, you know, with how the ease of documentation technology on, you know, the legacies that are continued on through media, like the oral storytelling tradition. I mean, we could even go on a complete tangent of decolonization on how the stories of indigenous people have been maintained, regardless of...
Well, here's the thing. The healing, the knowledge that were lost by all those people that were killed of witchcraft. They were lost. I wish.
Well, what's hilarious is the fact that, you know, being a Filipino American, you know, yeah, we got conquered by the Spaniards, but you know what? There's still Filipino martial arts today that have survived.
Woo!
You know, it's not like the Philippines are all a bunch of, you know, Spanish wielding, you know, fencers. No, we still know how to stick fight. We still know how to box.
But there is a downside. Yes, we have Filipino martial arts. Problem is, there's a lot of Filipinos in the Philippines who have no clue what Filipino martial arts are.
Wow, this became a brainstorm for future shows. So I'm going to – are we signing off now?
Yeah, I think we're signing off. And thank you, Rusty, or Restita de Jesus, for letting the two of us have fun tonight.
It's not Rusty de Jesus?
Of Jesus? What? Oh, no. Oh, no. She's on. Oh, no.
Unmuted.
Okay. You're on.
Unmuted. No. Hi.
Just don't kick my butt.
No. I was just going to say, yeah, you know, you guys should, like, put up a topic for another show regarding what you were talking about, Andy, like the passing on of legacies and stuff like that, and the oral stories and junk like that. So, yeah.
Or,
I went, ooh, they should do it. So, yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
Awesome. No, we're definitely going to do that. Yeah, but, no, that's totally awesome. I need to stop, like, double miking.
Oh, is that what's going on? I was like, what's going on?
Wait. Andy, hold on. Come back. Ready? Get set. Go.
Go. Oh, there we go. Oh, excellent. So. There's still a bit of a delay, but oh well. But yeah, the discussion about the traditional storytelling traditions being passed on and how people are now reclaiming those indigenous legacies. That'd be a great topic that I would love to talk with you, Rusty.
I would love to talk about that on your guys' show because, like Lynn was talking about, you know, everyone that were witches. You know, a lot of great natural knowledge went away with them because of the whole fear of witches and, you know, and drowning them and junk like that. A lot of natural knowledge that we know now, you know, and still discovering is gone because of those people that, you know, unfortunately got killed. So I think that'd be a great topic. And you know, it could even go so far as martial arts. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the only reason why, in the example of Filipino martial arts, that it still exists is because it's been passed down through oral tradition and through movement, and it gets passed on, and the legacies continue. And the names of the great masters still reverberate in the ears of today's practitioners. So I think that'd be a great topic. If you guys ever do it, I'd call in for that.
No, absolutely. Actually, I'd probably watch you in the studio for that discussion.
Yeah. That is cool.
Excellent. Well, let me get Lynn. I believe we're signing off now.
Cool. Sign off. I'm probably going to go get spa in case you guys want to go get spa.
Are you going to get spa? Huh? Okay. Andy says,
I need some soup. I'm so sick. It's not even funny. Oh, my God. So I think the soup will help me. I'll just see you guys there. So sign off.
Okay, we're signing off. Thank you very much, everybody, for those who are listening or will be listening. Come here.
I guess I need to be on the other microphone. So this is A.R. Mayer signing off. This has been a great episode. Thank you very much, Lynn Gancha of Sports Massage, Century Massage. Century Sports Massage. For Lynn, let me co-host this episode.
And she's gone.
The next show is scheduled for March 6th. And same station, same time. Also, it is daylight saving. Still are looking for a topic, but it sounds like to me we practically got the next topic. So, everybody, have a good night. Thank you, and signing off.